Oh, it's kind of sensitive.
Listen, Phil, as a psychiatrist, anything you tell me will be kept in the strictest confidence.
You know, it's funny how
the more you bottle things up inside, the bigger they seem to be.
Well, I've never told anybody this before, but okay, here goes. 6 years ago, I was abducted by aliens.
And that was from Frasier. And I think I remember the episode. I think the guy who says he was abducted by aliens was a politician, or he was running for some political office. And so imagine Frasier thinking, you know, here's this guy that's presenting himself as very knowledgeable and the people's man. And behind the scenes, he feels he's abducted by aliens. What does that tell you about him? Right away, it tells you that this guy is off his rocker, that he is definitely not rational and definitely should not be running whatever office he was looking to run. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. The show is The Rational Basis of Happiness. And let's turn to the phone now and welcome Julie. Julie, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, good. Your situation has to do with your son?
Correct.
Yeah, tell me what's going on.
Oh, I just had a question. I mean, everyone tells me don't worry about it, but he's 3 and a half, and he's the only child, and he always wants to play. A lot of times he likes to play with girl stuff.
Okay.
And my husband is starting to start wondering what's going on, and, I mean, is it time to stop, you know, telling him he can't do that, or...
Can you give me, I guess one of the things that crosses my mind is, how is he finding girl stuff if he's an only child? And my guess is that there are more male or boy-oriented toys in the house.
Well, basically, his little best friend is a girl, so when he's there, he likes to, you know, I don't know if it's just curiosity, but what he does is when he wears a T-shirt,
yeah,
he wants to take the arms out and pull it down on his waist and turn it into a dress. So that's the thing that my husband is starting to get worried about, and I spoke to my doctor, and he said, don't worry about it, but I'm just wondering whether it's time to stop. You know, I was just letting it go.
What does your husband say to your son? Anything at all?
Well, sometimes he'll say, you know, it's not, you shouldn't be turning that into a dress, you're a boy, but he's not, like, being harsh about it. He's kind of ignoring it, too. It's like we ignore it and then we freak out about it. We ignore it.
Okay. I know when my son was that age, I went out and bought him a doll so he would have a doll, because that was the thing at that time that you wanted to have. You didn't want to just put guns in your son's hands like they did when we were growing up in my generation, toy guns, the water guns or the rest. And my son played with the doll. He enjoyed the doll. And decades later, I pulled it out of the barn, and it was a little moldy. And I said, oh, here's the doll you loved. And he looked at it like, what, Ma? He had no recollection of it.
Yeah.
So if you make a big deal of it, it's more likely to get entrenched and become a power struggle and something that your son might use as a source of independence. Dad can't tell me what to do. He says I shouldn't be looking at girls' things. Once he gets that notion, then he might fight it. And then you've got much more of a problem on your hands. Whereas if you just put on, you know, if he's lifting it up like a skirt, and then maybe the little girl will try on pants or something, and it's no big deal. It's just like dress up. Is he there?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, is he
but
there?
But the thing, he does it when he's bored.
Oh, well then give him a nice menu of activities. What are some...
Correct, but I work from home, and sometimes when I'm on the phone and he has to entertain himself for 5-10 minutes, that's when something will remind him of it, and then he'll start doing it. It's almost like he's doing it to make me... angry. I don't know.
Yes, if the kids pick up that something irritates you, they will do it more. Because
when he's
curious.
Boys, he's all boy.
Oh, well, that's good news. And your son,
okay.
Your husband doesn't see that? If he's with boys, he's all boys. And if he wants to get under your skin and knows that this gets under your skin, then he's doing, then you're seeing a pattern. It has nothing to do with the dresses. For another mother, a mother might be very upset if she sees the son go over and pull the dog's tail. And the son, the young son, the 3.5-year-old, wants mom's attention because she's not giving it to him at the time. So what might he do? Go over and pull the dog's tail. So
he was afraid of the fact that if he keeps doing it, he'll come into a habit of it. And you know how some people start talking a certain way?
It can start building into a habit, especially if you make it taboo. If you make it a nothing thing and give him other things to build habits upon, if you give him other activities, for example, with my kids when they were 3.5 years old, we had tons of activities around the home. There was a book, How to Raise a Brighter Child. I'm trying to think of who wrote that. Joan Beck, I think. And it was it was just chock full of ideas. It wasn't that you have to raise an Einstein. For me, I used it just to take the ideas that I wanted from it, not as a guilt trip. And our home was just, it wasn't that our home was cluttered. It was that our home, you know, some houses when you walk in, you can't step into a house that the toys are everywhere and it's overwhelming to the child. But if there are interesting activities, for example, I had a cupboard that had a sorting activity. So I took all my pots and pans out and my son and daughter could go in and they could have all the dried pasta to play with. They'd put out a mat on the floor and they would sift rice. They would play with spaghetti. You know, I gave them that to play with as a learning activity. Is this making...
Yeah, he's got a lot. We're constantly on the go. It's like he wants to constantly go, go, go. And when he gets bored, that's when he starts doing it. A minute ago, he was Supergirl, but now he just came here. He wanted to be Superman.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So just enjoy Superman and ignore Supergirl. You know, just treat it lightly, a very light touch. Yeah, I don't see it as anything like a gender identity problem or anything like that. I think it becomes a big problem. When I've seen adults come into my office who have had identity problems or they've had problems, like cross-dressing, it's usually because their parents made such a stink about it and yelled at them and criticized them and made fun of them. What do you think, you're a girl? That it became much more of, it was more of a power struggle with the parents and a fight for their own independence. And then they ended up, as you said, making it into a habit, you know, the cross-dressing or the exposing themselves or different problems like that. My sense is that with your son, just treat it just gently and as a nothing issue and enjoy the fact that he does have a much wider menu. You're saying that he likes playing boys and with boy toys and that that this is only when he gets together with this girl, right?
Okay. Well, no, with his little girlfriend and at home, he'll turn his shirts into dresses.
Yeah, I wouldn't make a big deal about it.
And once in a while, he want to put a shirt on his head to make it hair, but look like hair.
Oh, you know what I might do? He could have a little costume corner if you wanted to, but make mostly male clothes. Your pirates thing, like a Halloween things. You know, you could have that. So he's got a little dress-up corner, but it isn't just girls' clothes. It's mostly all male clothes that are all different, and it will give him a, you know, you could picture him as an actor someday.
Okay.
That's one idea. But just give him a wider menu of things to select from and don't make a big deal about this. And I think that will... And definitely don't picture him in the future as having gender identity problems because then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You treat him that way.
How would you recognize if that was an issue?
I think it's not with your case.
Are they born
you know
that
what? Let me touch base with you during the break. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on the Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner and co-author Dr. Edwin Locke.
Partners need to communicate constantly, but most do not. Why is communication not a conscious priority? Most partners feel that because they're in a settled relationship, they no longer need to talk as much about their feelings toward one another. They focus on everyday practical matters, yes, but expressions of tenderness, concern, and interest in one another's lives go untended. They go on automatic and don't talk unless their subconscious mind happens to feed them something. It is precisely because they are in love that partners need to communicate in order to maintain and deepen that love.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com. And you can buy The Selfish Path to Romance at amazon.com.